My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
95.7 The Game's John Dickinson has been with the Warriors every day throughout the championship era.
The Warriors start to celebrate. The one-time darlings are now a dynasty.
And now, he brings you the latest scoops on the back-to-back champs.
He's looking good to go.
And exclusive player interviews.
What's up, Dub Nation? It's your boy, Stephen Curry.
This is Warriors Weekly on the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network. Now, here's your host, John Dickinson.
And welcome in Warriors Weekly Podcast, Episode 7 for 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson joined by Matt Steinmetz again. We got to come with the heavy hitters after... I got to be honest, Steiny, this is a podcast that I thought was going to have a totally different tone. When we were mapping it out yesterday, it was, well, I'm going to get a Houston guest on, and I'm going to have you on, and this is going to be a full-blown Warriors-Rockets preview. The Rockets held up their end of the bargain. The Warriors didn't, and for whatever reason, it all starts with the defense for the Golden State Warriors, and they were awful last night at home in Game 5 against the Clippers, and they've basically turned this into an emergency pod about what the heck is going on with the Warriors in this series.
You know what, JD? That's a great question. I think it's logical for somebody to have watched that game last night and taken away from it. You know what? The Warriors can get beat. I really do. I mean, this is the LA Clippers. They're the eighth seed. They're a team with a mix of a couple nice young players, a couple solid veterans. But the talent discrepancy between these two teams is pretty dramatic, or it should be pretty dramatic. And I guess what I'm thinking, JD, is after watching the Warriors this regular season, after watching them have games like this in the past where they've been inconsistent, I am starting to think, you know what? This is who they are. This is going to be a grind. They may win the title this year, but it's not going to be easy. And I think even looking forward, looking past this year, might even be a bigger issue for the Warriors because they might not be able to ride this out as long as they thought they were gonna. And what I mean by that is, again, I mean, obviously, if Kevin Durant says, I want to re-sign, he's going to re-sign, and you're going to want him to re-sign. And there are worse things you could do than re-sign Durant, re-sign Klay Thompson, and head off into the future. But I think what we're seeing now, JD, is if you re-sign Durant and he wants to come back, and you re-sign Klay Thompson and he comes back, it doesn't necessarily mean everything's automatic anymore. You know what I mean? It just means that you'll have some continuity for a few more years, but championships aren't a lock anymore for this team.
Well, and I think you're starting to see a short-term cost of a couple of the games in this series for the Warriors. They're going to have to play a game six against the Clippers. They're going to have to play a game on Sunday that's going to be a quick turnaround, regardless of whether they win or lose. It's either a quick turnaround for a game seven if you lose, or a quick turnaround for a game one against the Rockets if you win. So we're seeing some short-term cost for the Warriors losing in the way that they're playing, but we're also seeing, as you mentioned, maybe some long-term costs as well. Just the fact that the days of skating by on 6 to 10 to 12 good minutes and having that win a game for you are gone.
They really are. And I think that's, you know, in this day and age, JD, where everybody is shooting threes and guys are getting better at shooting threes and guys from different positions are shooting threes, like there's more runs in a game. They come quicker. They use more, you know, the runs are bigger.
An 18-point lead in what it used to be.
Exactly.
Flat out.
I mean, it really isn't, JD.
Well, Warriors Weekly, Episode 7, John Dickinson joined by Matt Steinmetz. It's an emergency pod because the Warriors lost again at home to the Clippers. How about the Warriors losing 2 out of 3 at Oracle Arena in a playoff series? I mean, I got to go back. When's the last time the Warriors lost 2 home games? It's got to be the finals when they lost Game 5 and Game 7 to Cleveland.
I would think so. They didn't lose 2 that series to OKC, I don't believe, right? They split at home. Then they lost two on the road. But no, they won Game 5. This is also the first series in the first round that's ever gone 6 games. So just tangibly, they're having more trouble this first-round series than they have in any of the past. I don't know, JD. I mean, where do you think the team is kind of in their dynastic arch? It's getting more tenuous, I think, more quickly than people thought it might.
Well, look, I think the Warriors are still the favorite to win the championship this season, but at some point, I mean, if they're the favorite, they're less of a favorite than maybe they were a week ago, and yes, they certainly are less of a favorite than they were back, let's say, on New Year's Day or even at the All-Star break when they were, you know, hot as heck, before they lost that final game, you know, going into the All-Star break up in Portland, and then they came out of the break a little sluggishly, and they never really found what they had there in early January leading up to that game in Portland right before the All-Star break. They never really found that level consistently, and they haven't been able to flip the switch even in this series against the Clippers.
And you know what else is going to be different this year if they get to the finals is, you know, they're going to play the Rockets next round if they get by the Clippers. I think that's going to be, at the very least, an emotional series. But I do think this is going to be the first year where you don't get to go to the finals anymore and have a sense of comfort. And I don't want to take anything away from the Cleveland Cavaliers, JD, but the last 2 years, the Warriors, they had their number. I mean, they just did. There wasn't a lot of drama in the finals. I mean, think about it. We all knew when Cleveland lost that game one that they had in the bag, we all said, it's over. And we were right. It was over. And that's not going to happen this year. So that's going to be another thing that's going to be interesting to watch. Let's say the Warriors beat the Clippers. Now they overcome an emotional series against the Rockets. They beat the Blazers or the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. I think everybody out here is used to, all right, finals, this is fun and games in a way, because we don't even think the Cavaliers can beat us. That's changing. If it's the Bucks can beat the Warriors. If it's Toronto, they can beat the Warriors. Not that they're gonna, but it's going to be totally different than the Cavalier years in the past.
Well, and the other interesting thing there is the Warriors may not have home court advantage in that final series for the first time, but the reality is that, and I'm not even saying this jokingly, that may be a good thing for this Warriors team, because they continue, and it's been something we've talked about all year long, and it's played out in this series, they play better on the road. They play more like the two-time defending champions that everybody expects to win a third on the road, and then they get inside Oracle Arena, and it's like something changes. How do you explain that? Because I've been trying to figure it out. I've asked Steve Kerr about it a couple of different times. He can't figure it out. I mean, how do you explain it?
Well, first of all, It is hard to explain, and even if we explain it, it's more guessing. But there's no doubt they haven't clicked consistently at home. I think there's two things going on, and I talked about this particular issue with Brian Scalabrine on the Big Time Basketball podcast. There's a little cross reference for you, JD.
Love it.
I think it's because the Warriors, in some subconscious way, feel like they have to put on a show at home. It's not good enough just to dot the I's, cross the T's, and knock a team off by 13. The standard is so high here. You know, they need
but
three.
But wouldn't that be better than what we've seen? I mean, even if it is boring, per se?
Well, but my point is that's not good enough for them somewhere deep down at Oracle Arena. They go on the road. I think they say, let's get back to basics. We got to be buttoned up. We got to take care of the ball. We got to defend. It's the road. And so they're great. So they play well on the road. Now they come home and they're like, all right, home. We got our crowd. Let's give our crowd. Let's put on a show for our crowd. And the reality is somehow you got to go into that game saying, let's pretend it's a road game. Let's try to keep the turnovers into single digits. Let's take Lou Williams. You know what I mean? It's just, I feel like the games at home, I don't know if it has to do with the last year at Oracle, because I think I felt a little of it last year. I just think that they try to almost outdo themselves sometimes when they're at Oracle Arena, because the fans kind of demand it in a way, and that leads to not quite as crisp basketball.
Well, and the funny thing is, Scalabrine, being down in LA,
real quick, Scalabrine thinks it's the old, and I'm not saying he's wrong, he thinks it's the distractions thing. He definitely says, you know, it's more of a pain at home with tickets and family and running around and errands, and then you go on the road and it's all basketball. He's played in the NBA, I'm sure he knows. But that particular thing's not necessarily new. It must be that they're not handling that part as well this year.
Well, just from being at the games in L.A., if you just play, the flash plays come out in the wash.
No doubt.
Because, I mean, there were a lot of flash plays and moments where Curry got hot or Durant, you know, went in for a big-time dunk or you know, Kevon Looney makes a play. I mean, there were four, five, six different plays at points in the two games in L.A. in Game 3 and Game 4 where I was thinking, boy, you know what? If they did this at Oracle, the place would be absolutely electric. But
yeah,
they never do that at Oracle anymore, at least not consistently.
No, they don't. And again, I also think at some point you got to start asking the hard questions, and that is, can this group get any better? And I know sometimes people don't want to hear it, but Curry's 30. He's been in the league for a while. Is it possible that these guys are starting to basically get on the downside of their careers, particularly because they've played so deep into seasons? And, you know, the one thing I also want to say is, just because they might be on the downside doesn't mean they can't win it this year. It doesn't fall apart in the snap of a finger. But I just think we have seen too many signs and too many things have happened this year that are a little bit different to just think it'll all be solved with the snap of a finger or a flip of a switch. The Warriors and the rest of the league, things are tightening. And that seems obvious. And I think if you you have to acknowledge that, don't you, JD?
No, I think you do. And you look at it, I mean, the Warriors have lost a second game in a playoff series, Steiny, just the sixth time in the Steve Kerr era. So basically 5 years, this is the sixth time. You get the Grizzlies Cavs.
Four series a year. So this is the 17th series, is that correct?
Yeah.
Under
yes.
Steve Kerr, and they've only lost two games six times in 17 series.
And it's just the second time since they've had Durant.
Right.
Obviously, the only other one was the seven-gamer against the Rockets last year. But yeah, 15, it was the Grizzlies and Cavs. 16, the Thunder and Cavs. And obviously, the Warriors lost in 16 to the Cavs. 17, 8, It didn't happen at all in 17. And then 18, obviously the Rockets and now the Clippers in the first round.
Right,
so
first round.
It's happened in the first round.
Yeah, that's in the first round, I think, is the key there, obviously. If they, you know, if they're losing two in the first round, what happens as we go to rounds two, three, and four? I got to tell you, JD, it's not what Warrior fans want. It's not what they expect. But I mean, this is going to be fascinating watching this championship run because it's all starting to come into focus. What Pat Riley talks about with a three-peat and the disease of me and the fifth year in a row trying to get to the final. You just kind of see how hard it really is. And like, you know, at the beginning of the year, it's hard to three-peat. Yeah, well, the Warriors are going to three-peat. But it's really hard. History has shown it's really hard. But the Warriors are the greatest team ever. They'll be fine. No, you know what? You have to respect history. It's really hard. And there are a million reasons why it's really, really hard. And the Warriors are finding all that out right now. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be incredible to see if they can overcome it. Because let me tell you what I'm realizing now, JD. If the Warriors win it this year, this will be the sweetest one. I really believe it. And you wouldn't have thought that before the year started. So maybe there's a silver lining here.
And there was a sweetness to last year when they won because of how difficult it was compared to the year prior, really. I mean, yeah, with 17 was the redemption tour, and you added Durant, and you got back after you ended up losing in the finals in 16, and it was a different team. But I felt that there was more of a relief and an enjoyment and an appreciation even last year compared to years, you know, prior. I think you're onto something as far as this year goes if they wind up winning it again. Hey, how do you explain the defense? Because the Warriors' defense stunk last night. And is it just effort level? Is it just similar to what we were talking about, you know, the home road thing? I mean, they gave up 37 in the first quarter to the Clippers. They're up four, but it just felt like last night was one of those games, Steiny, where they believed they could win it just with their offense, and that's just it's false. They can't do that. Not even against this Clippers team.
Right. Well, I'm gonna let me whittle it down to Iguodala defending Lou Williams, and this is what I was thinking last night. Iguodala is a great defender. He's smart. He knows. He gets to know your tendencies. He plays percentages. He knows how to strip the ball down low. He's a great defender. But you know what? Lou Williams is a smart, clever, adept offensive player. Those guys know each other. And I do believe there's you got to give Lou Williams credit for respecting Andre Iguodala's greatness on defense and knowing that he's got to do different stuff and raise his game. And I just think, look, Iguodala defended him great in game four, and here comes game five. You know what? Game five's different. Lou Williams is a great player too. He can make adjustments. His change of pace is incredible. That's what I've, you know, you think about all the players in the league and how Lillard gets it done and how Westbrook gets it done at full speed. I mean, Lou Williams, yeah, he's just so, you know, he goes between deliberate, quick, and slow, and he's still, you know, it's all about the change of pace. It's like a pitcher's fastball at 90 seems like it's faster if his other pitch is 80. You know what I mean? And so I just think that Lou Williams is a heck of an offensive player, and the Warriors are having trouble with him. And the other thing is the Rockets, I'm sorry, the Clippers, they just seem to know what they're going to run. And if they're running the pick and roll, I think they feel like, well, we're going to get a shot out of it, so let's just keep running it. And they're not even having to get to their third and fourth option because, I mean, Lou Williams has been great in a couple games.
You know, at one point during game five, I think I texted you, or we texted each other at the same time, and it was, boy, Gallinari's been awful in this series.
Right.
And he didn't start out great in game five, but he found something a little bit in game five that hadn't been there
throughout the course of the entire series. And I think now he almost becomes a little bit more of a concern for a game six, because he's a guy that hadn't played well, and now he had a better game, and you know, he's capable of having a couple of really strong games now.
Especially at home, too. It's funny, because we can go find a million reasons, you know, why the Warriors lost, and they're all valid. I tell you one that we really haven't talked about. Patrick Beverley was good offensively last night. I mean, he's not a good offensive player, but when he and Jamichael Green are basically matching Curry and matching Klay Thompson in terms of three-point percentage and attempts, that's going to be a problem, because you don't expect that from Patrick Beverley. So Patrick Beverley's making shots, and Lou Williams is doing what he's doing, and Harrell's, you know, doing what he's doing. Now you start looking and say, oh, now they got three guys playing pretty well. Well, now it's four guys they have playing pretty well. Well, now it's starting to become a bigger problem.
Yeah, and all the guys in double figures for the Clippers last night, and for the Warriors, it was Durant and a whole hell of a lot of Durant, and then Curry and Klay Thompson. But another thing that tends to come up when the Warriors aren't playing well, Steiny, is it looks down the stretch like they don't know where they want to go with the ball. And it was that classic night where Durant is getting whatever he wants, and you almost want to go to that, but then how do you get Curry a shot? And the Clippers have done a better job on Curry the last couple of games. They're really trying to take the ball out of his hands. And it's not even take the ball out of his hands when he's got it in the pick and roll. It's take the ball out of his hands when he catches it on a wing. Let's say Durant is going to have it at the top, and he's going to hit Curry on the right wing. There were a couple times last night where the Clippers are going, and they're just running two guys at Curry there and forcing him to make a play, which is a little bit different.
You know what? I'm starting to think about this, too. Let's be honest. The Warriors don't know where they're going to go down the stretch of a close game. They have no idea. If the Warriors are in, if that game is tied on Friday with 1 minute left, okay, and they're inbounding underneath their own, Clippers score with a minute to go. The Clippers pick and roll with Lou Williams. He hits a little fadeaway to the left. It's 110 to 110 with 1 minute left. Curry inbounds the ball. What are they running? They have no idea what they're running at that point. None. Zero. They don't. Why? Because they have options that are legitimate. You know what, though? Whatever happens on that possession with the Warriors, when the Clippers get the ball back, they know exactly what they're doing. Now, the Warriors' greatness, their individual greatness, will still win them a lot of those games. But they're winning them less than ever before because of a lot of reasons. But one of them is other teams are feeling more comfortable against them, and the Warriors aren't buttoned up down the stretch, whether it's because they don't play a whole hell of a lot of close games like this, whether it's because there's a very real who's going to shoot the ball, Kevin Durant or Steph Curry. And oh, by the way, you know, in game two, the ball ended up in Klay Thompson's hands for two late shots, and that just felt really awkward because he hadn't been shooting in the second half. So that's like almost an offshoot of having great individual players.
What do you make of the Warriors acknowledging they were looking ahead?
That was weird.
I mean, Klay Thompson said it. Yeah, I was looking ahead, and basically I wasn't the only one.
Well, I wonder if they were looking ahead because were they looking ahead after the Rockets win, or were they looking ahead a day or two ago? Because kind of what I mean by that is, you know, the Rockets win right before the Warriors go out. I could see the Warriors, all right, let's go, baby, Rockets, come on. You know what I mean? That I kind of get. Like, we're going to go take care of business, and now we know the Rockets are there. That I can live with. But if it's the morning of the game, you know, we're going to have to really deal with the Rockets pick and roll. Yeah, then it's a problem.
You know, I think it goes back to Sunday, to be honest. I mean, I really do. I think it went back to the post-game press conferences on Sunday after the Warriors won in LA to take the 3-1 lead. I mean, it was all
right.
the conversation about, you know, the next series and Clay jumping in the ocean. And it was, you know, it I think Anthony Slater wrote this in The Athletic. It had a little bit of a feel like the Warriors had just won the series 4-0.
No, you're right about that. You're right about that. And that's the other thing. You take that for granted with the Warriors. You know, oh, they lost a tough game too, but guess what? They go down to L.A., and just like the Warriors, they win both. Just like the Warriors. So now they come home, and it's over. But no, it's not over. We're seeing things this year, JD, that we're not used to seeing.
Final one here as we wrap up our Warriors Weekly Emergency Podcast. Matt Steinmetz joining me, John Dickinson, here for 95.7 The Game. You said something to me last night that I wanted to bring to the table here, and that is, you know, this is the kind of game five, you lose at home. This is the kind of game that makes you think, you know what, they might not win it. What do you mean by that when you say that, and just does it have any impact here moving forward as the Warriors have to play this series out and then look ahead to the Rockets?
I just think it's a short-term and long-term thing that gets me to say that. Short-term, all right? Short-term's just the postseason. This is their fifth year. We've been through all this before. We know what it takes to win a title. Well, they're going to six games with the L.A. Clippers, and now they got to go down to L.A. on Friday. And then, now we can't even assume they're going to win game six. We think they will because they're the Warriors, but let's say they win game six. Well, now they got to play game one against the Rockets. Rockets are probably going to be watching the Warriors game six from the Bay Area. They may be here. Now, they may fly Saturday, but the point remains the same, is that the Rockets...
Well, they don't know who they're playing.
Right.
So they probably are.
True. That's right. You want to talk about looking ahead? Oh, God, that's funny. You want to talk about looking ahead?
They're not flying until the Warriors win, I'll tell you that, because they may be hosting. They might be hosting the Clippers on Tuesday in their mind.
Well, you know what? Maybe they're going to fly to, like, Pomona or something, or Cal Poly, or what's the one in the middle, right in the middle of LA and Morro Bay, someplace they're going to stay, and they'll decide whether to go north or south. But so the short term thing worries me, but also, and this is where, it might be painful. I mean, this is the fifth year. I don't think the Warriors are getting better at this point. I think they're holding on. And I think it's the start of the decline. I've kind of said that all year. And again, it doesn't mean they're not going to win it this year. I still probably wouldn't take money off them if I had bet on them. I'd be a little more worried. But, you know, the idea that next year and the year after that, I mean, that's gone, I think. I really do.
Yeah, and it's so funny. We always have that conversation about, what's it going to look like a year from now, or what's it going to look like? I remember 2 years ago, we said, well, what's it going to look like at the end of 2019? And I always say, 2 years is a long time.
Yeah.
It's not a long time in terms of your entire life, if you live to be, let's say, 80 years old. But 2 years is a long time in the moment, and everything can look different, dramatically different, in 2 years. All you got to do is just look back at your own life, go back 2 years and look at where you were at, or things that were going on, or people you were interacting with. And, it's sometimes it's dramatic, the difference that 2 years can make. And I think we've seen that with this Warriors team. The other thing too, Steiny, just to wrap it up, the Clippers are feeling like they can beat the Warriors now. And the one thing we know, the Rockets believe that they can beat the Warriors and should have beat the Warriors. So I think the way this thing is played out, even if the Warriors wind up winning it, and they may get a slight reprieve in a conference final, let's say, if they make it through this weekend and they make it through the Rocket series. But I'll tell you, they end up playing Damian Lillard the way Damian Lillard's playing. I mean, look out. I don't think he's somebody you'd want to see at this point. But teams are much more confident
against the
Warriors is what I'm getting at.
No doubt. I mean, absolutely. And they're confident because they've been playing the Warriors head-to-head a little bit better. And also, they're watching the games. And they know that the Warriors are struggling more and more against every other team in the league.
All right, well, that's going to do it for Episode 7 of our Warriors Weekly Podcast. another emergency pod. That's back-to-back emergency pods, Steiny. I had the one with Bonte last week after the Game 2 loss, and we had it lined up. You know, you're going to do one after Game 2 because this series is going to shift to L.A., going to do one at the end of this series because we expected the series to be over after last night. I was looking ahead. I know you were looking ahead. You had some weekend plans that are getting tweaked a little bit. I'm heading back to L.A. tomorrow morning, so now, there's been a little bit of a wrench thrown in this thing, but yeah, our second consecutive emergency pod. Steiny, thanks a lot, as always, and we'll talk to you on the pre- and the post-game shows here over the course of the weekend. Thanks, buddy.
All right, JD, take care.
This was a production of the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.